little behind schedule on, so we're going to have to move as expeditiously as possible. Target shooting briefing and public hearing. And Joel, I guess you're the lead here.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. My name is Joel Sisolak. I am the Planning and Recreation Manager in the Lands Division. And I'm going to try to share my screen. We're here today in part because we've seen an increase in target shooting on DFW lands, which has created a few challenges, including wildfires, public safety concerns, and impacts to both habitat and private property. So what we're here today to talk about is an update to an existing WAC, 2020-500-140, which is our rule around recreational target shooting. We have several presenters on the call today. Along with myself, we have Mike Livingston, who is the Region 3 Director. Region 3 is where, out of the Weenas Wildlife Area, where the topic of target shooting arose. We have Dave Whipple, who's our Hunter Education Division Manager, as well as Captain Bob Weaver from our Enforcement Program. Captain Weaver has also been part of the work on this rule update from the beginning.
Hey, Joel.
Yes.
Just to let you know, like your audio is cutting out a little bit, so make sure you don't have your VPN on, and just be aware that you are kind of fading out a smidge when you do talk. So you're getting soft, and then normal, and then soft. So just
thank you.
Slow down a little.
Thank you, Nikki. I'll scoot a little forward. I think we've had a little bit of technology issue at my house today, so I think that might be part of the problem. But please let me know if I do cut out. So I'm going to talk, and I'll talk a little louder. I'm going to talk through what the goals are, and Mike will talk about what the process has been to date. And then Dave Whipple will talk us through the elements of the proposed rule. We'll also talk a little bit about the public process and an update to the timeline. We discussed it yesterday at the Wildlife Committee. I wanted to bring that to this video as well, to the full commission. So in terms of the goals, three primary goals really for rulemaking. One is to continue to allow recreational target shooting on DFW managed lands while also protecting safety and habitat. We've also heard some issue with just shooter confusion. We have, particularly on some of our lands that are more kind of patchwork with other landowners, there's been some confusion about the discrepancy between our target shooting rules and the target shooting rules of other land managers, most specifically. So with that, I'm gonna kick it over to Mike Livingston to talk about the process to date.
Thank you, Joel. Mr. Chairman and commissioners, thank you for making time on the agenda for this important topic. I know it's been a very long day. My hat's off to all of you for your work on the commission. So target shooting is one of many activities that occur on WDFW wildlife areas. It's an especially popular activity on some of our wildlife areas, in particular in Region 3, the Weenas Wildlife Area. And because of that, the department recognized the need to improve our management of all uses so that we can assure they're all compatible with our mission and things are safe out there. The popularity of recreational shooting has increased in recent years and requires some attention now. Here's some of the reasons that we've identified. On the Weenas in particular, we do have some reports from the public of some scary situations where stray bullets have flown over people's heads. We have examples of where shooters have shot trees to the point where they topple over. Some of those are mature ponderosa pine or Oregon white oak trees at a diameter of maybe 20 inches, so they're pretty large. finally, some of the trash that piles up at some of our popular shooting sites is so great that truckloads are removed every year. And we're fortunate because we have some dedicated groups, including the Kittitas Field and Stream Club, the Weenass Muzzleloaders Group, and the Oak Creek Volunteers that help us every year to remove that trash. This is not a testament to all shooters. This is kind of just a small group that unfortunately needs additional rules to make things better on the wildlife areas. So this rule update recommendation was a result of about a 7-month long facilitated advisory committee process, and it included several public open houses. The process on the Weenass started in 2017. We pulled together a diverse group of public, including hunters, shooters, bikers, hikers, Audubon member, horseback riders. So we had a variety of folks. And as they started to dig into the issue, some of the recommendations they came up with were clearly beyond just the Weenass Wildlife Area and became more of a recognition of a statewide challenge in some regards. So when the committee finished up, the department moved on to develop some internal teams. And we started working on a variety of the recommendations. Next slide, Joel. So the committee gave us 16 specific recommendations through that facilitated process. We put them into 4 categories, including better education outreach activities and providing more resources for the public to understand where they can and can't shoot. We wanted to clarify, or the committee wanted us to clarify, the rules around shooting on the wildlife areas. And I'm going to come back to that one in a moment and have Captain Weaver enhance that discussion. They wanted us to work on some sites to develop them so that there's a better experience for all. And then finally, they recognized that this was an integrated approach to improving shooting as well as the experience for all users on the wildlife area. And so they wanted a phased implementation approach that included the advisory committee continued activity with us. And with that, I'm going to let Captain Weaver discuss the enforcement piece of this.
Good evening, commissioners. Thanks for taking time to listen to this. You know, when we started this process, we were finding that, you know, as we look at the landscape of our public lands, we have a lot of intermixed lands as far as, you know, some may be owned by DNR and some by us. And, you know, part of what the committee was saying was, you know, we have different rules. So, you know, part of this process and what they came up with was trying to bring our rules more in line with what DNR rules are so that it makes things easier for the public to understand and know the rules regardless of which state lands they may come through. But, you know, a very important thing to the committee and people we spoke to was the implementation, if any new rules were done. So as with any new or updated rule, education outreach is a key component. In this instance, if passed, this rule has a delayed implementation, will provide an additional opportunity to provide education and outreach information to the public, which will kind of help us ensure a smooth transition for our constituents.
Thanks, Captain. So next slide, Joel, please. And one other thing I wanted to mention is we formed 2 different groups within the agency, cross-programmatic. It included enforcement, included wildlife and lands division, and included folks in the regions as well as headquarters. And we really pulled a good team together here to work through these issues. There was a smaller subgroup that met many times to go through the rule update that is being suggested currently. And we also connected with the AG's office for input. So finally, with what Captain Weaver had mentioned is a lot of our lands, particularly in eastern Washington, are checkerboarded between DFW and Department of Natural Resources. And so our ability to enforce a consistent rule across those lands really became apparent with the committee's recommendation. We've done some check-ins with DNR, both in the region as well as headquarters. They're currently working on some site-specific issues that they have in target shooting, but certainly are interested in what we're working on. And particularly in the region, they're really I'm grateful that we're making progress on the rule change that we're proposing here. And I think Joel's going to take it from here. Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Whipple to walk us through the proposed update.
Thanks, Joel. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. David Whipple, Hunter Ed Division Manager for DFW. I'm going to try to move through some of the main elements of the proposed rule update, as you'll see on those bullets on the screen. And one of the biggest points here is that to date, the current DFW target shooting rule is very brief and limited in its scope. It doesn't do many of the things that the rule update proposes to do. And the current rule is very different from DNR's, as you just heard. And so really the goal of this particular rule proposal is to align it with DNR's WAC. But you'll see in a moment that it does go beyond DNR's rule to some extent. most of those, if not all of them, are because DNR also has the shortcomings that they identified and worked with us on. So next slide, Joel. So one of the things that we do in the new rule proposal is to actually propose a definition for recreational target shooting. It should be noted that the current rule doesn't do this, and that this will provide a lot more clarity in the rule, and also I think will benefit enforcement and be able to help people follow the rules. And specifically of note, the proposal does not update, or the update, excuse me, does not apply to hunting and dog training. And so we make that distinction very clear. Next slide. So there are some general restrictions before we get into more of the specifics. The current rule has this authority to a large extent, and that you see there in the first bullet, where we make it clear that DFW can designate where target shooting can occur, and that wildlife areas are in fact open to target shooting unless they're posted closed or otherwise restricted by a rule. We have a number of wildlife areas where target shooting is not appropriate, and those are already posted closed. So we're being very clear about where target shooting can occur and where it can't. And then there is a bullet about that people that participate in target shooting are also responsible to know some of the other laws. In other words, we can't cover everything that we need to in our rule, and it defers to other rules as well. Next slide, please. So a couple things on prohibited ammunition. It mirrors our current rule, with the exception of we add steel core bullets as a prohibited ammunition type because of an elevated fire risk. So not much change there. Next slide, please. And so we also define where target shooting is allowed, and we also define where it is not allowed. So where it is allowed, that first bullet there really speaks to the target shooter's responsibility to understand what is between them and their target, but as well as beyond their target. The rule requires a backstop to be used, or shooting at a designated department designated shooting area for the firearms that are shooting larger calibers and higher velocities. So this just relates to recognizing there is a difference between certain types of firearms that creates elevated risks relative to safety. Because with archery equipment, crossbows, and then also shotguns discharging shots smaller than BB, those can be utilized obviously on a designated shooting area, but also if you're not on a designated shooting area, you can also target shoot with those implements as long as you are aware of what's between you and your target and then beyond. So it defers to that very first bullet on the slide that you're currently looking at. And so the backstop, we do define a backstop, and that backstop has to be a minimum of 8 feet high, and the target has to be placed at the base of the backstop, and the target shooter has to be shooting at the lower half of the target. Now, 8 feet is the minimum. The definition also requires the backstop to be able to and effectively stop the progress of and then contain all the projectiles and fragments. And so if 8 foot doesn't do it, then it's not going to be consistent with the rule. Next slide, please. So where's target shooting not allowed? And some of these are pretty obvious. The first bullet, the on, from, at, along, across, or down gets a little confusing, but you can understand the gist of it. And what we're trying to do is not allow target shooting that would create a safety issue relative to water access sites, roads, water bodies, and structures, et cetera. So again, the goal here is really related to safety. Next slide, please. There is a timing requirement for target shooting. Our current rule does not have this in there, but this particular rule element mirrors DNR's current rule, so there's no change on that. And then allowable targets. The goal here is really to require manufactured targets so that we help address some of the things that Mike talked about relative to trash, you know, people shooting TVs and appliances and pallets and things like that, and then leaving them on the landscape. The steel targets are prohibited during those particular times of the year that have a higher fire risk associated with them. And then the biodegradable clay targets that's a bit of a shift. I believe it's consistent with DNR's rule, and that's just recognizing that clay targets can accumulate on the landscape, and they now make biodegradable targets that hopefully will to help keep those accumulations a little bit lower. And then the final slide here talks we have one more, the prohibited targets. So again, buildings, power stations, gates, fence posts, all those kinds of things. We also include in there the fact that it's not allowed to shoot at vegetation, whether it's dead or alive, and you can't hang targets on there. So that's trying to get at the habitat impacts to some extent. And next slide, Joel. And then trying to address the litter issue. The proposed rule update mirrors the current rule and also DNR's rule, with the exception of shotgun hulls, which this rule proposal requires to be removed from the site after a person has done target shooting. And that we do make the statement about the failing to remove those constitutes littering. So again, trying to get at safety, habitat issues, littering, those kinds of things. And so with that, I'll turn it back over to Joel.
Thanks, Dave. One of the things that we consistently heard and continue to hear in public comment almost universally is a concern about litter. So that last one. Being especially important. So just in terms of what we've gone through for public engagement, as folks have mentioned, we've been working on this for a while. In 2019, we started engaging legislators and an early review of the draft. We put up a website. We actually recorded a video with frequently asked questions. We went back to the WENAS Target Shooting Advisory Committee to ground truth the draft rule. And then we've done some of the other things that we typically do around rulemaking. We did a press release, and we did another survey after first reaching out to the Wildlife Area Advisory Committee members across the state. And then this last bullet, we have, and I'll talk a little bit about the timeline at the very end, but we have pushed or recommending pushing out enactment until January so that, as Captain Weaver said, we'll be able to do some additional education and outreach before the rule's enacted. Just to give you a sense, we've done two primary surveys. One is to the Wildlife Area Advisory Committees. As the commission is aware, we have 33 wildlife areas across the state. So we sent a survey to the advisory committees, which are groups of volunteers that support wildlife area management, and got 79 responses back. And it was predominantly supportive. The folks who were not supportive of the rule typically had concerns about loss of opportunity for shooting, or they felt that the rule did not go far enough in restricting shooting. And that's kind of a consistent finding with our second survey. This number was 1,235 responses. It was actually of a couple of days ago. We've gotten some more since. And the numbers here, again, we see a slight majority of folks who have registered a lack of support for adoption of this rule update. And again, that the folks who said they do not support it were mixed. There were those from who felt that it was too restrictive, and then there were those who felt it was not restrictive enough. And then that category of folks who said they're unsure, that was also a mix. There was some folks who mostly supported the rule, but wanted to tweak some element of it. And then there were other folks who said, you know, we don't think this goes far enough, but it's an improvement from where we are. So they would support it. Here are some of the kind of the frequent comments that we heard. And again, you know, the too restrictive, not restrictive enough. It should be, shooting should only be done at ranges. Some of the specific elements that we heard comments about were around the addition of limiting steel core ammunition and limiting steel targets. We heard a number of comments about lead ammunition, and we heard a number of comments about things that could be clarified in the rule language. Because we've gotten so much comment, and comment only closed, I think, yesterday at 5 p.m., the internal group that's been working on this hasn't had the time to really go through all of the comments. We want to read each one and make sure that we seriously consider what we're hearing from constituents. There's obviously a lot of passion about this topic, a lot of strong interest, which we can see just in the volume. So we want to go forward in a smart way that's really thoughtful of public comment. So for the timeline, we had initially thought that, you know, we would have this hearing today and then ask the commission to consider adoption in July. We are recommending that we actually push out adoption perhaps to your September meeting and then come back next month and give you what we heard in terms of public comment and how we recommend responding in terms of revisions to the rule. And then again, we would look toward the beginning of the year for enactment, which would give us some more time for education and outreach. So with that, I'll stop and take questions.
Commissioner Thorburn.
Not so much a question as a comment. I honor the process. I've been aware of this issue from my friends in the Kittitas Audubon Society for many years, recognize that there's been tremendous need for process to get us where we are. And I appreciate everything that's gone into that. That said, and I look forward to adopting something on kind of on the timeline that Joel's presented. I think there's a tremendous need to enhance our rule and clarify target shooting on our wildlife areas. That said, I think there's a big missing part, and I think my fellow commissioners won't be surprised to hear me raise this. And I put it on the table because I don't want to stop with the adoption of the rule, and we are going through a process on this issue, and that is lead ammunition on our wildlife areas. Target shooting there's a lot of evidence that target shooting leads to environmental contamination with lead, both the primer and the ammunition, and especially the small ammunition that you're talking about, to continue to allow dispersed shooting in some areas so that cleanup would be next to impossible. I think it is possible to clean up in controlled areas, but not if we're going to continue to allow dispersed shooting. This is an issue for conservation of wildlife. And that is the primary reason that we have wildlife areas. So while, as I said, I really look forward to moving on this because I think it's a very important issue. I don't think we're done.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Does anyone on our panel want to respond to that comment?
I would say that I completely agree. There's multiple steps here. We're tackling something that's been a challenge for us for a long time. And I think the commissioner identifies a long-term investment that's going to be needed from the department to address the lead issue. We can't tackle it all at once. We're addressing the one of the really important things that that advisory committee had provided to us as a priority from their perspective right now.
Okay, I have four hands up. I'll read them off in order if I may. As I see them, Commissioner Baker, Commissioner Linville, Commissioner McIsaac, and Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Baker.
I couldn't agree more with Commissioner Thorburn on this issue. This is probably a good start. Until this briefing, or until I was preparing for this briefing, I thought that target shooting was just at designated sites, which would make the lead abatement be easier. But even then, the discussion about the truckloads of litter that are removed from those sites means that abatement isn't even happening at the designated sites, much less, you know, shooting against an embankment anywhere in a wildlife area. So I just want to say that I support the thrust of this rule, but I would agree that I think this is something that the Wildlife Committee may want to look at a bit more, a lot more, actually.
Thank you, Commissioner Baker. Commissioner Linville?
I'm going to flog the semi-comatose equine and say that I can't unsee what we saw in Bellingham regarding lead. And it has, I come from, you know, my husband and I are sportsmen, and we target shoot all the time, and we allow hunting on our ranch. And that was so impactful to me, seeing that data, that I actually, you know, talked to my husband, who has an ammunition room full of lead ammunition that, you know, he doesn't want to waste. And we actually are having a neighbor design targets to capture that lead, so that we are just doing our best for our ranch. And so I just feel like the department, this is, you know, this is the time for leadership. This is not an easy topic. I only tell you these things to let you know that I understand what a big hurdle this is. I think it absolutely has to be addressed, and we have to be creative and think outside of the box on how we're going to mitigate for this, because we are supposed to do the best for the resources. That's our job as commissioners. And we have clear data that shows that lead is not good for the resource. And so I also support everything else that was in this, but I just want to add my voice to the let's start tackling the lead issue as well.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindwell. Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get to my question, I'll lend my voice in favor of the integrating this into our lead considerations. I can't recall where we're at on that blue sheet process, but maybe that can be part of what we hear next, is what is the timeline on that process, and how could this be integrated at the same time instead of have it be step two years from now or something like that? My question is that I'm going to presume this policy has farther reaching tentacles than just the wildlife areas. It's in conjunction with DNR. And so I don't know that you're proposing whatever comes out of this policy be applicable to Weyerhaeuser land or private land or anything like that. But my question has to do with dead trees. So when I think of going out and trying to sight a rifle in you're out somewhere and it's a box canyon and there's lots of, you know, dirt there, but it's in a clear cut area, or there's an old snag and a Yakult burn of 100 years ago that's dead. I think your intent here is, just because a tree doesn't have any leaves on it, that doesn't make it an open target. But when you've got a horizontal log on the ground in a dead end canyon, would that still be, according to the proposal right now, an illegal or something that you should not be able to select that old stump or something like that, or some horizontal log to put a target on and try to get 100 yards sighting on the thing? And before you answer, I'd also say, when you have a survey and it's getting worse from 78% support to only 31% support, even though it's a mixed bag, it'd be nice if we had more, you know, I know some are going one way and some are going the other, but anyway, that's not the best signal in the world there. But my question has to do with dead trees.
Dave Whipple, do you want to take that one?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner. So the way that the rule is proposed right now, that would be illegal. It would not be consistent with the current language. And, you know, we grouped vegetation standing or down, dead or alive, because it all is habitat to something. And the other thing to think about is that if people are utilizing just a log to shoot into, there may not be a backstop. And so the probability or chances of a ricochet endangering somebody, or just not having a backstop that would stop that projectile, that wouldn't be consistent with the rule either.
Okay. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you, Larry. Backing up my commissioner friend, Linville, I too am an old reloader of lead. And, you know, times change. And I reflect back to the discussion the commission had many years ago now when I was first on about removing lead in jigs on loon lakes and how we got the backlash that first you take the lead in the fishing jig, then you take the lead in the bullet, then you take the lead, then you take the gun, you know, and by opening up the lead debate, we're going to open up that, well, it's still an ongoing debate amongst segments of society, but it's something we have to do. And I think by taking a position as we move forward in the lead discussion on the blue sheet, we can be a leader in the state in removing lead. Its time has passed. And I would say, I would ask the staff also, what are the most progressive states doing in terms of lead removal? Because as always, there's 49 other partners out there, and sometimes some are taking the lead. So I commend the policy of Commissioner Linville's family, husband giving up lead and reloading, and I did as well. So, but again, it's coming from one that's not anti-shooting. I'm a hunter, I'm a reloader and all that. I'm one of you, but I'm one of you that recognizes that times do change, and for the health of wildlife and conservation, we have to change.
Okay, I think we can dig deeper into this as we get farther along, if I may. I know we have some people that have been waiting quite a long time for their public comment. Staff, am I cutting you off by going on to the public comment section?
I think you can go ahead. Like I said, I hope we'll be able to come back in July and dig a little more into some specific details.
So any objection from the commission on that? Okay. All right, Nikki, you're in charge of the screen as I understand it now. How many people do we have? Well, what's the agenda or what's the list there?
I've got six, and I can go ahead with the awesome verbiage. So we'll now take public comment. As a reminder, everyone is currently muted. So if you have a question, please raise your hand. If you're on the computer, the raise your hand button appears under your name. If you're on the phone, please press *9 and wait to hear you have been unmuted. That is your indication. It is your turn to speak. The first person we have is, I thought it was Martha, but it looks like it's going to be Rachel Voss.
And who's the backup?
Steve Miller.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
We can. Go ahead, Rachel.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioners, Director. Thanks for allowing me a little bit of time to talk with you guys about something that I'm very passionate about. I sit on four different DFW advisories. I'm on your BPEG, your Sunnyside Wildlife Area, your GMAC, and of course the Weenass Wildlife Area, the reason why I'm here today. I've been a lifelong resident here in Washington and a hunter for over 20 years. As a member of the Weenass Wildlife Advisory Group, we put in countless hours working on this. One of the biggest things that came out of the work that we did was the recommendation for this specific rule change. Our hope and goal as an advisory was to protect the habitat, to improve the safety on the wildlife area, and to ensure that the wildlife area is always a positive experience for all different user groups. This rule change is super important. It will help provide enforcement with a necessary tool to help meet these goals that we specifically were looking for. As I said before, I'm a hunter, but one of my other lifelong passions is I'm a big time reloader, like a couple of you guys, and I'm into long range shooting. As someone who shoots, it's absolutely mind blowing to me that some folks don't have the common sense to be certain that they have a solid and proper backstop when they're shooting. You wouldn't think that shooters need a rule and to be told something that's as common as this, but unfortunately, there's a few out there that do need this rule. We have places, a couple of these have already been mentioned, such as the Oak Creek Wildlife Area. People have put targets up on big mature ponderosa pines that are now destroyed. They're down on the ground, they're dead. I've seen people in the Sunnyside Wildlife Area actually shooting target practice in the parking lot with cars parked next to their targets. I have friends who are horseback riders and they have literally jumped off their horses and dodged bullets while they're on these trails. Sadly, common sense is really not that common anymore these days. And not having a proper backstop when shooting on DFW lands is not just dangerous, it is potentially deadly for several user groups. I realize that Eastern Washington has more of these hot spots when it comes to the dangerous dispersed shooting, but I think we all know, and it's safe to say, that there's problematic areas in various locations in the state. I represent several hunters on multitude of different platforms. And I have to tell you, majority of the hunters, they love this rule. They love the idea of the rule change. This isn't about saying we can't go out and shoot anymore. We can't shoot long range. We understand that. This is about coming up with a smart solution to a super dangerous situation, you guys. We realize this rule change will not fix all of the challenges regarding shooting on DFW lands, but it's sure a great start. It just seems like a no-brainer to pass this rule change. DFW owes it to Washingtonians a safe place for all user groups to recreate here in Washington. With that being said, I know Rome wasn't built in a day. This is gonna take time, and I've already heard a few of the staff mention about education and outreach. And I think sometimes they probably get tired of me always pushing that home. Transparency to the public, super important. There's enough time here that we can educate and explain to this 17% that's unsure. I guarantee you they're unsure just because they don't have a whole idea of the whole concept yet. I have to say I'm a little upset to hear the commissioners just speak about lead when you have horseback riders, bird watchers, mountain bikers, hikers that are literally could be like out on the road and, you know, the Skyline Trail. We're talking about people's lives, guys. Lead is super important. And I know we're all on the same page with that, but I'm a little upset that I didn't hear any of that come from some of you guys. So I think that it's just super important, and I really hope you guys consider all of this and not just the lead situation as you move forward and looking at adopting the rule change. So thank you guys.
Thank you, Rachel. Next, Nikki.
We've got Steve Miller and then John Baranowski. Go ahead, okay. Steve.
No more to be added to the list.
Can yes. you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear
okay.
you,
Steve. Well, thanks for the time. I'm a member of the WENAS Target Advisory Committee. I live here in the local Yakima community. And as a member of the committee, I represented interests of hunters, hikers, and equine. I don't feel the need to comment so much on the contents, the draft rule, except to say I believe it's a good product, and I believe it is as currently written, in good shape. But I would like to comment on the overall process that got us to where we are today. As a member of the Target Advisory Group from the beginning, I was part of a very robust process. Robust in terms of first being led by a third-party professional facilitator. Different points of view were hashed out, and input from the public was considered and discussed. But eventually, consensus was achieved on all the important issues, notwithstanding the comment on lead. Even after the written proposal by the group was published, the department engaged with the target committee to maintain the initial momentum and the progress made. Some folks may see things in the draft rule that need tweaking that I don't see, which is fine. But at this point, I like what I see and feel it should move forward. So in closing, I see the challenge will be in educating the public, changing some past behaviors, as evidenced by some of the photographs we saw, molding some new behaviors, and subsequent rule enforcement. And last but not least is the challenge of keeping the project adequately funded to implement the good work that has been done. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Steve. We have two folks with their hands up. First, Commissioner Baker, then Commissioner Anderson.
I just wanted to respond very quickly to Rachel's comments. I want to say that public safety is of extreme importance to all of us. And just to relate a two-line story, late last year, somebody I think we all know, Harriet Allen, a 30-year employee of Fish and Wildlife, was shot by hunters up in Duval. And luckily, it was duck hunters, and she wasn't badly hurt, but enforcement was brought to the scene. And their excuse was that there was trees in the way, and so they didn't know where their shot was going. So public safety is also, I think, paramount to all of us, and I just wanted to make that point. Rachel, you raised a good point. We've got a lot of work to do on this.
Great comment, Barbara. Commissioner Anderson.
Yeah, just not because of the scold or me too, but I was going to raise the point that public safety is really a big issue to me. And I was going to raise it, but I just thought it would almost go without saying. Having said that, I think we need to be careful, and I don't know how we talk about this, and maybe we could talk about it later, but as we have some focus on lead, we want to not also lose sight of the fact that a lot of discussions already occurred on the rest of the issues, and we need to make sure that we don't hang things up based on a conversation around lead. So
thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay, Nikki, next.
Okay, we've got John Baranowski, followed by Bill Esman. Go ahead, John. Oh, you're muted. Can you unmute yourself, John?
I'm unmuted.
Oh, there we go. Excellent.
Hi, I'm John Baranowski. I am live outside of Sela, and I was a member of the WENIS Target Shooting Advisory Committee. And I had a prepared script, and I threw it out and said, imagine how disheartening and disappointed it is if you're a big game hunter and a bird hunter and a hiker to sit in your yard and watch the weenus burn off year after year after year. Imagine how frightening and nerve-wracking it is for you and your wife to be hiking out there and have someone pull up along the road, set up a target, and start shooting and have a ricochet go by you. That's me. That's why I joined this WENIS Target Shooting Advisory Committee. My feeling is, and has been, that if user activities can be done on these lands in concordance with stated missions of the lands, then let's see how they can be accommodated. But I also feel that the activities put the stated land mission into jeopardy, then they must be regulated and, honestly, if need be, prohibited. For the naysayers, I'm amazed. Okay, so I joined this committee. I'm still amazed that over the active span of this committee, the roughly 20 members plus public input who represented wildly ranging user groups could come to a general consensus of recommendations that we could at least live with. The Ross public group that led our committee said, you're not all gonna agree with everything, but can you at least live with some of these recommendations? And we did. And the general consensus was the first thing we needed to do was establish rules for target shooting. Second thing was, down the road, we need to review those rules and see if we implement them, did they work, or were they too restrictive, or they were not restrictive enough. Okay, so that was rule one. Secondly was, get some rules into place, because we just lacked anything, any guidance out there. It was just free for all Wild West stuff. So then get those rules, get some education, get an opportunity to do some outreach, and then if you have to, do some enforcement. And that's where really the whole committee came together amazingly and said, this is what we really should be doing. So I hope you'll accept the proposed changes and let DFW Lands regain some order that allows them to stay true to their mission, but allows user groups to enjoy the land. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments, sir. Next, Nikki.
Next, we've got Bill Essman, followed by phone number 7796. Go ahead, Bill. Make sure to unmute yourself.
Still muted?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there he is.
We can hear you now.
Sorry, guys. I'm not real good at this. I know it's been an awful long day for you folks, and chair and commission, director. I really appreciate this opportunity to comment on this. I was part of this committee from the beginning. And just a brief background, I came to Ellensburg as a game warden in July of 1979. I retired as a sergeant in 2003. I'm very familiar with the shooting areas. I supervised the north half of Yakima County, all of Kittitas County, and Chelan County. I'm very familiar with these areas and what went on in the meantime. Towards 2000 and just before I retired, things started to change. We didn't have issues on what was then the LT Murray, which is now the Winnis, the Umtanum and the Sheep Company Road, the Buffalo Road. There were not that kind of issues. I'm also president of the Kittitas County Field and Stream Club. And our club, this would have been the 18th year that we have our annual dirt road cleanup, which we typically in a very small area, probably less than 2 or 3 acres, we pick up 2+ tons of target trash. It's incredible.
You're muted again, Bill.
Yeah, I lost you, Bill. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, 2 years ago, I picked up my first 72-inch flat-screen TV that was shot with a 12-gig shotgun. And you can imagine how many pieces of glass that is. We pick up an incredible number of shotgun hauls. This has become very popular area for clay pigeons and shooting everything. I would like to say that part of our Winnis target shooting recommendations and that hasn't been brought up yet, but these high shooting areas like on the Durr Road and the Sheep Company Road, we've limited it to shotguns on the recommendation to shotguns on the Buffalo Road. The others will have berms where lead can be recovered. And hopefully that is a good start. There are very few areas other than these high impact, easy to get to, close to town. The Durr Road is probably 20 minutes from downtown Ellensburg. The Sheep Company in Sela is really close to Sela. That's probably only 15 or 20 minutes. So these are really high impact areas. If we can control the shooting in those two spots, the incidental stuff in the other areas, I don't see as an issue. I travel this country a lot in my off time. I'm a bird hunter. I'm a big game hunter, a reloader. I teach hunter education. I'm on the GMAC. I'm on two of the wildlife area committees, the Winnis and the LT Murray. and I kind of get around. It's something I've done all my life is get outside, and I still do it every chance I get. I don't want to go over what any other the other committee members said. It was all good, and I don't want to waste your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your career with the agency and the still the volunteer work you do, Bill.
You're welcome.
Next, Nikki.
Next, we've got phone number 7796, followed by Martha Jordan and C. Davis, and those are the last three.
Okay,
go ahead and talk, 7796. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name's Dennis Harmon. I'd like to add that it's a danger floating down rivers in a drift boat, too, and they're firing hundreds of shots just over the rim of the bank, and there you can hear them cracking through the trees right above your head, and that was on the Cowlitz River, and there was two people on the bank at the far side of the river that were, I saw them running and diving behind a couple of logs, and this lasted for quite a few minutes. We were hollering at them, and we finally got out of range and called the police, but that was just one instance. I don't know if I saw the whole presentation. Did you mention anything about gun sizes or anything like that in this at all so far? Like, you know, 50 calibers and guns that... you know, get sighted in for 500 yards and things like that, or am I missing some things here that we shouldn't be talking about? I mean, you go out in the woods and you start lobbing shells with some of these guns that can shoot almost a mile nowadays, and where do you protect yourself from them? You know, I know you say you have a berm, but... some of these are such high velocity that they'll bump right off the top of a berm. I've been a shooter and a sportsman all my life. I think you got a lot more issues to look at. What about how many – can somebody just stand up there with their 50 caliber drum in their pistol and burn off 50 shells? How many of those are going to start getting erratic? I mean, you got people that do this stuff all the time. They go out there with their cases of beer and out in the woods, and it doesn't have to be in one or two spots. It can be any turnaround spot on a dirt road out in the middle of nowhere, and they start blazing away at everything. And there's a lot of things going on that you probably are just thinking about the more responsible hunters. And, you know, of course, there's, you know, the majority are like that, but there's so many out there. And, you know, one thing that came to mind with me was, I don't want to, one guy said, I don't want to live like that. Well, I don't want to die like that either, you know, because they're just dangerous, flat ass dangerous. Excuse me, but it's just right down to that. It used to happen, right? I'm from Auburn. We used to just go up on top of the hill by Black Diamond, you know, and there was lots of places back there that you could just fill up with lead. And it, as it got more tighter and more restricted, it started pushing people out of the area. So anyway, all I got to say is, and I didn't even know that this was happening right now, but you got a long ways to go. You can't just say, well, we want to implement it by the first of the year. That's my opinion. So thank you very much for listening to me.
We're just getting into this, and we plan to take a deep dive and be as comprehensive as possible. The staff's on it, and we're on it now as well. So thank you for the comments, and have a nice Friday evening.
You too.
All right. Next up, we've got Martha Jordan and then C. Davis, and that's it for this evening. Go ahead, Martha. You are muted. Make sure to unmute yourself.
I have now unmuted. Can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, good. Well, I've been on the commission meeting the entire day, so I do understand, but I have learned a lot, and I really appreciate you sticking around for the end. I've submitted written comments to you as well as continuing to work with Joel, but I did want to bring up a couple of things. Number one, I do sit on two advisory committees myself, both the Skagit Wildlife Area and the Snoqualmie Wildlife Area, where, and I'm very active in the hunting dog training community as well as some of the shooting sports. But I really do support the proposed rule changes, especially the backstop safety changes. As far as these go, they appear to deal with some of the more serious issues on the shooting ranges. I do have a very big concern about the dispersed shooting areas, not only for safety, but for contamination. And one of the issues that I don't see being brought up is that the uses that create a spatial layering of opposing ammunition being used on a wildlife area. For example, Scatter Creek, where they have pheasant release, it's only non-lead shot. And dog training is non-lead. And then you turn around and go for target shooting on that same property with lead shot. This is just not something that has been addressed or perhaps has even risen to a level of thinking at this point in time because there are so many other issues. One of my big questions is why is WDFW not engaged with best management practices on outdoor shooting ranges as written by the EPA? Currently, cleanup is impossible in dispersed areas and can be challenging in the concentrated ranges. And by definition, you are running outdoor shooting ranges with lead ammunition. So lead contamination is a serious problem and it needs to be addressed and action taken. So I would really like to be a part of that process and see how we can work. And then to continue with your blue sheet and helping hunters and other shooters to transition on our public lands and elsewhere. Because when you go out hunting, you also, and the hunters have told me this repeatedly, and I agree, when you go target practicing, you want to use the ammunition that you're going to use for your hunt, because that's how you get to be good and accurate. And that's basically non-lead shot for a lot of our shooting needs. And we're encouraging more and more to be using non-lead for other things. And I include your predator shooting and ground squirrel shooting, which can be highly toxic to a lot of wildlife when you leave those animals in the field. So I appreciate the process and I appreciate the comments of other people. And I will continue to work with Joel and others related to this shooting issue. And thank you for your time.
Martha, thank you for your comments. Next.
All right, we've got C. Davis. Go ahead. Make sure to unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I have primarily a question for the chair. I've been listening to your meeting all afternoon or almost all afternoon after lunch, and it was very interesting. However, I followed all the way through your salmon recovery. Fascinating. And the next topic you covered was target shooting, which is item number 10. So from item 8 to item 10, you did not cover item number 9, the pocket gopher issue. What am I missing?
Well, we did. We did cover it. But we had to shuffle the agenda around a little bit today to match up with some timing issues, and we did cover it. And I'm sorry for the fact that you may have missed that.
So it was not between item 8 and 10. Is that correct?
Where was it, Nikki? I have so many scratches and notes on my agenda here.
You did do it before the Columbia River one because we were so far ahead. But just so you know, Mr. Davis, there is going to be another presentation June 26th.
Yeah.
We have another meeting then.
And we are doing public comment and having a decision on that item then. So there's another opportunity there as well.
Do you, can you commit to a, well, let me tell you, I live in Thurston County. I'm a very active with what's going on in Thurston County. I'm actually closely involved with the county commission in a way. And this is an important topic that I really want to be able to comment on. Now, June 26th may be a very challenging day because there's also a lot of other things that day. Can you, will you be able to commit to an agenda at some time before that you actually will follow so I can time my comment for that?
I don't think we can fit in another meeting between that, but we can.
I mean, just so that I know exactly when on the 26th it's going to be.
Nikki, you have his information. If you could get that, and we will contact you with. It's generally going to be a morning meeting, about starting at 8:30, I believe. Is that what we've got scheduled, Nikki?
That's correct.
Does that work for you?
That's fine. I just need to know the time. And you don't have to tell me right now. You can tell me closer to the time, whatever works for you. I just don't want to miss it.
Well, I know it'll be at 8:30 in the morning, the starting of the meeting. And if you could, Nikki, can you grab his information real quick while I bring this meeting to close?
Yeah. He filled out the form. And Mr. Davis, I'll reach out to you and make sure you get the meeting announcement so you're prepared.
Okay. Very good.
We'll make it up to you, Mr. Davis, and thank you very much. Apologize.
Great. Thank you, too. Have a good day.
You bet. Well, does anyone have anything else before we bring this to closure? All right. A reminder that we start tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Everyone have an enjoyable and happy Friday. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Larry.
But